Blog Talk Radio.
It's a song we learned in Zimbabwe. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you.
Everyone, this is Pastor Kim from Vision of Hope Ministries in Charlotte, North Carolina. We're located at 5105 Reagan Drive, Suite 105. So if and when you're in the Charlotte area, please come out and visit us. We have Sunday school at 9:30 and our morning services at 10 a.m. And, of course, we have Wednesday night Bible study, which you can listen to live online on Blog Talk Radio, or you can call in. I'm happy to be with you this evening, in spite of the fact that I have a bit of a sore throat, but I thank God that my voice is coming back. It sounds much better than it has been, than it sounded previously. So I just wanted to talk a little bit today. We're going to be talking in the whole month of September about healing. And there's all types of healing that can take place, emotional, physical, mental. But we're going to talk about healing, and I talked about this on Sunday, and so I'm going to talk about the hardest, probably one of the most difficult aspects of healing right from the beginning, because we have to learn, first and foremost, how to trust the Lord. A lot of times when we don't get our way, or when things don't happen the way that we expect them to happen, then we have some trust issues with the Lord. And we know his word says that by his stripes we are healed, but we also know that in some circumstances and situations, healing does not take place. Does that mean that it's healing is not for everyone? No, it doesn't. Does it mean that we shouldn't have faith when it comes to healing? No, it doesn't. We should absolutely have faith. But we ought to ultimately have faith and trust in the Lord that if things don't happen the way that we want them to happen, that it is for a reason. So I'm going to the book of Corinthians, the second chapter, and beginning at the 12th verse. This is Second Corinthians, 12th chapter, beginning at the first verse. And this is a situation where Paul had a condition, a thorn in his flesh, a problem, a situation that he wanted the Lord to deliver him from or heal him of it, if you will. And so we're going to see what the Lord says. And I'm going to share with you the revelation that the Lord gave to me from this scenario. I must admit, if you take a look at this scripture, that 2 Corinthians 12 chapter, that for a while it kind of bothered me. You know, you ever have some scriptures that you read that you really don't have the full understanding or the full revelation, so you just kind of toss it to the side or just say, okay, well, maybe there's some Greek and Hebrew that I don't know about that causes this passage to not really read the way that I would like it to read. And that's kind of how I felt about this scripture for a long time. You know, I read it, I saw what the Lord was saying, but I didn't really get a full understanding. So let's look at it. 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Beginning at the first verse, I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in body or out of body, I do not know. God knows. So immediately getting into this text, Paul is somewhat boasting about his revelational experiences with the Lord. And he goes on to say he knew a man in Christ 14 years ago who was up in the third heaven. Now, this is what he's saying. He's saying, look, whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. He's saying whether or not he knew this person spiritually or not spiritually, physically, he doesn't know, like he doesn't remember. This is letting you know the types of revelations that Paul was having. He had a very close connection to the Lord, and the Lord will reveal lots and lots of things to him. And you really have to go out on a faith limb, you know, to reach this level. Verse 3, and I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows. So he's saying, look, I knew this man was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. So he's, again, sharing that he knew of a man, but he doesn't want to boast about the man. You know, he only wants to boast in his weaknesses. So let's see what happens. Verse 6, even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted but what I do or say. Or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh. He's saying, look, if I do boast, it's going to be truth. I'm not just boasting, it's going to be truth. I wouldn't be a fool. I wouldn't be making up things. It would be truth. But he says, but I refrain from doing so that no one will think so highly of me than what should be. You know, sometimes you get people who boast and boast and boast, and I love these people who start out with all glory given to God, but such and such and such and such and so and so and so. But Paul is saying, look, I'm not going to even begin to boast about myself. Verse 7, because of these surpassingly great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Can you imagine? He has such great revelation. He has such great power, spiritual connective power, that he was given, and this is his analysis of the situation, I was given a thorn in my flesh to keep me from being conceited, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Oh, my God, how many times have we prayed and asked God to deliver us, to heal us, to set us free? There's been miraculous times when he has. There's been times when our faith has just taken us to another level, and we knew that it was going to happen. And I can't imagine anybody having any more faith than Paul. But Paul is saying, look, I did this three times. I pleaded with the Lord to take this away from me. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Now, again, I talked about this a little bit, and I'm going to back up you know, we have a limited amount of time, so it sounds like I'm going fast. But he says, verse 9, but he said to me, meaning the Lord, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So he asked the Lord to heal him, and the Lord says, my grace is sufficient. He asked the Lord to take this thing away from him. The Lord says, my grace is sufficient. And that's the part that bothered me, because grace is unmerited favor. Grace is giving us something that we don't deserve. So if you're asking God, if you're asking God to heal you, and God's response is, take my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. God is saying, take this unmerited favor of this condition. It's better for you than me healing you. That's a heavy pill to swallow. And I promise you, this message is not for everybody. Take what is happening to you. Take that unmerited favor. Allow what is happening to you to happen, because it is better for you than if I would deliver you. Help us today, Holy Ghost. He says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Now, do you know what I see in this? I see people who are in church, first of all, who talk about people. Let's get the Sadducees and the Pharisees, who are talking about people who appear weaker than them, less powerful, more hang-ups, and more problems, getting blessed and delivered and set free. And it's like, oh, my God, why is that happening to them? They're not as strong as I am. They don't. You know, they do far more than I do. So that's one side of it. That's what I see. Sometimes you see people walk into church and they have so many problems and so many hang-ups and so much this and so much that, and God continues to heal them, continues to use them, continues to shine forth through them. I hope I'm making some sense. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Does that mean that we're free to sin? No. You should be compelled to do right because you love the Lord. But at the same time, you should not judge someone else's weakness as a factor of whether or not God can and will use them. There are countless situations in the Bible where God has used weak people. And one of my prime things is Lot. Like I would have been so upset if I was Lot's wife. I mean, Lot took her to Sodom and Gomorrah, introduced her, exposed her to all the things that were down there. And then, this is in his disobedience. And then when he gets a word from the Lord to his uncle, and his uncle goes down, Abraham, to deliver him and his family, he gets a revelation from God, and he tells his wife, look, we have to go. It's time for us to go, and don't look back. Well, now he's on his spiritual side, and she's busy looking at his unspiritual side. And it's like, I can imagine, she's like, what? You're the one who brought me down here. You're the one who gave me all this. You're the one who exposed me to all of this sin in Sodom and Gomorrah, and now you want me to leave? Now all of a sudden you got a revelation, and you want me to leave? Well, not so. And as a result, he gave her a warning according to the word of the Lord, and she did not listen, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. But, I mean, I could just imagine she did not want to hear anything he had to say because he was the cause. So what are you saying, Pastor Kim? I'm saying that the Lord is sovereign. He uses whom he wants to use. He blesses whom he wants to bless. His word says he shines, he reigns on the just as well as the unjust. So what you've got to do, what we've got to do, is do our part. Love the Lord, treat people right, be a blessing, listen to God, move when he tells us to move, say what he wants us to say. Paul says, after the Lord says, my grace is sufficient, Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That means he's being transparent. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. Excuse me. I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So he's saying, look, the more you talk about me, the more you criticize me, the more that I go through, it's not me, but it's the Christ in me that causes me to overcome. I'm almost done, but I just want to go back a little bit more. The Lord is leading me to go back to that where he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. This is where I'm talking about we have to trust God, because sometimes it's just something that he wants us to go through. And he's saying, take the grace of going through this, because he knows what's on the other side. The Lord knows what could happen if we didn't go through it, or if we don't go through it, or if we don't allow him to use us for this appointed time and appointed season. The Lord knows. I mean, in Paul's case, it was a case of him being exalted above measure. I mean, can you really understand that? Can you get with that? That Paul said, look, he knew himself. He said, look, God has given me this thing so I won't become conceited. I won't become a hothead. I won't become puffed up. In other words, it's better for me to have this condition and keep me humble with all the revelation and all the power that God is giving me than it is for me to be free from this condition and walk around and boast about who I am and what I am in the Lord. That's some heavy stuff right there if you think about it. That is some heavy stuff. We are to always walk in humility, always walk in humility, and we don't know what God is going to have us go through, but we ought to have the grace to go through it and to accept it. Does it mean that you, like I said from the beginning, that you can't pray for healing? No, it doesn't mean that. But what it means is that if your healing doesn't come in the time you want it to come and in the way you want it to come, then you ought to accept the grace that God is giving you to go through whatever it is that you go through. Trust me, say to God, if you really sat down and talked to people, particularly preachers, pastors, leaders who have been used or are being used mightily by God, some of them have gone through and are going through some serious weaknesses of their own, insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties. And if the truth be told, some of us in times have said, Lord, look, I need some help. Look, like, what's going on? You've got me helping this person. You're using me to do this for this person. And you see I'm in need, too. But that's what Paul is saying. When I am weak, I am strong. Because he's going to show up and let God do what he wants to do through him in spite of what he himself is going through. And that's the place that all of us want to get to, not just leaders, not just preachers, not just teachers, whomever, but all of us want to get to a place to not let our infirmities, our weaknesses, the insults, the hardships, the persecutions, and the difficulties get to us to the point that we can't do what we've been called to do for Almighty God. I hope this is shedding some light for you. I hope it's giving you a little bit of understanding about this scripture where the Lord says, my grace is sufficient. I talked about just taking the grace. Take the grace of God. Don't look at it as a disappointment when things don't happen. Look at it as God is gracefully allowing something to happen to you for a better end, a better turnout, or a better reason. Again, I've enjoyed being on the line with you. If anybody has any comments or anything to say, You know we're not on here long, but if you have any comments, anything to say, if you press 1, I'd be glad to let you chime in. If you have a question, you can press 1. You can also email me at ladyparsons5@gmail.com. If you have a particular topic that you would like me to discuss, like I said in the beginning, we're going to be talking about healing all month. And I started with one of the most difficult topics. What happens if you don't get healed? What happens if you don't get delivered? Trust God. Take it as grace. And I do hope that you understand that. The Lord loves you. He has what's best for you. Some of you know my favorite scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So those are the plans that God has for you. Our church is built on 3 scriptures. That's one of them. The other one is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. And the other one is 3 John 1:2. I wish, Paul said, I wish above all things, and that is so important, all things, that thou would prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospers. So as your mind, your will, and your emotions prosper, above all things, you should have 2 things going for you. You should be prosperous, and you should be in good health. Those are the things that the Lord would have for you. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. Tune in with us next Wednesday at 6:30. Please invite somebody. Give them the number to call in. I think it's a golden opportunity for Bible study. Give them a number, the number to call in. Our number is 347-637-3862. So give them that number to call in and join us at 6:30 on Wednesdays. And our topic this month is on healing. God bless you.